Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
You guessed properly. This is the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs will go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so look for a new one of those. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh, so I'm scrounging through here, Dan, trying to figure out what I want to do with my my FanDuel lineup for the evening, because there is a lot of pitchers you can spend a lot of money on. You know, I mentioned to you that they sent out a free roll earlier, so I decided to use it to build a Clayton Kershaw lineup. He was 12,500. You mentioned you went with Zach Greinke, who's 10,600. There's also John Lester for 9,400 and David Price for 9,300. So it's easy to, you know, go ahead and spend all that money you want on pitching. You know, I was just kind of looking and searching for some deals like I always do, hoping maybe I can land a guy. You know, I know Buck Farmer has like 14 consecutive scoreless innings going into a start against Arizona tonight. He's $6,700. I'm not sure if I'm buying him against the Diamondback offense, but, you know, maybe you're somebody who is. You know, I know Jose Urania is making the start for the Marlins today against the A's. He's been kind of, you know, up and down, hot and cold, however you want to look at him. I mean, if you caught him on a good night, but the A's have a pretty solid offense, so even at 7,200, I'm not really buying him. Dan, what do you think of Scott Feldman against the Padres today for $7,900?
Normally I wouldn't.
So, yeah, you know, it's just kind of the matchup more than anything else. And I know, you know, Feldman was really good his last time out. He actually pitched 7 scoreless innings. You know, the problem is he just doesn't strike out a lot of guys. You know, like he did score 43 points. So like he's an interesting available option there. You know, Kansas City's in San Francisco. And there's interesting matchups there. It's actually Jason Vargas for the Royals, who was really good to start the year. He'll cost you $8,500, and it's Ty Black for the Giants tonight. You know, that's a pretty interesting pitching matchup. You know, just kind of, you know, and it also helps that it's two teams that don't really hit a lot. So, you know, you wonder if, you know, maybe that's an option if you pick the right side of that game. Black, you know, Vargas is 8,500. Black is just 8,300. So, you know, there are a couple money, I guess, money savers if you want to, you know, if you want to go that way or you want to take that plunge. You know, I did decide, Dan, if I was going to save money tonight, I was going to drop it on Scott Feldman. You know, it's just hard to walk away from anybody who's been pitching solidly against the Padres. You know, they're just a bad team. Well, I shouldn't even say bad team. They're just a young team. So I think if you're going to save money, he would probably be where I would go to do it. So we'll have to see how it all works out here. But you know, on the plus side too, is if you get a guy like that, you have the option to spend a little more money in other places, which is always a bit of a plus.
I was going to say, if you go with that, are you building a lineup with him?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. So,
I mean, because that obviously opens up your offense a bit more. I would want to take Diamondbacks, but, you know, if I took Buck Farmer, tonight would be the night he blows up. But then I felt like if I took any of the Diamondbacks offense, they put up zeros.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's always, that's kind of how my stuff goes. You know, when I'm looking for stuff or I'm trying to hunt down stuff, you know, it always kind of blows up on me a little bit like that. But, you know, there are, hopefully some good choices out here, as I'm kind of poking around to see who I like or who could be an interesting option as, things kind of move along. The one guy I was kind of looking for here, I didn't see. Oh, that's why he's not in the lineup tonight. So that kind of solves my problem there. So yeah, you know, just trying to piece things together here and see where I like the idea of spending my money and who to go to. Wow, Eduardo Nunez is up to 4,200 tonight. That's just nuts. So you know, that's a huge a huge sum of money to pay for a guy who's not a not a power hitter type of guy. So all right, Dan, I almost got it figured out here. I just need to sew this outfield up, see who I want to go with here. Get some quality guys here. I think I'm going to go this route. What does that leave me with? All right, almost there. I need one more guy here. Let's see if I can find who they are, and we'll let Dan pick my last guy here and see who he's got. All right, Dan, do you like Trey Mancini hitting fifth for the Orioles tonight, Gregory Polanco hitting third for the Pirates, Hunter Pence hitting fifth for the Giants, Billy Hamilton leading off for the Reds, Nick Markakis hitting third for the Braves, Tommy Pham hitting second for the Cardinals, or Mitch Hanger hitting second for the Mariners?
I actually went with Hunter tonight, so I think you should go with Pham.
Okay, I'll plug Tommy Pham in then for my last guy. Yeah, you don't ever want to use the same guy. That's like the curse. You know, anytime you do that, that happens every Sunday. If Mr. Fantasy and I have the same guy, either I make him change it or I change it, because it's just, it's literally death. There's just no, for whatever reason, it just kind of puts like a double curse on the guy or something, and, you know, he just gets buried. So, you know, it's just, I don't know what we do to them. All right, my first contest expired, so I had to enter another one here. All right, here we go. So I did go with Scott Feldman for $7,900 as my pitcher. At catcher, I went with Jonathan LaCroix. He's hitting sixth for the Rangers tonight. He cost me $2,600. First base, I went with Ryan Healy. He's hitting third for the A's tonight. He was $3,400. Second base, I'm going with Dustin Pedroia. He's second in the Red Sox lineup tonight. He's hitting 3,300. Third base, I'm going with Todd Frazier of the White Sox. He's hitting fifth tonight. He cost me $3,400. Shortstop, I'm going with Corey Seager of the Dodgers. He's hitting second tonight. He cost me $3,700. Then in the outfield, I settled on Corey Dickerson of the Rays. He's hitting second tonight. He cost me $3,900. Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers is hitting fourth tonight. He cost me $3,800. And then Dan picked Tommy Pham for me. He's hitting second for the Cardinals tonight. He costs $3,000. So it's Feldman pitching, Lucroy catching, Healy at first, Pedroia at second, Frazier at third, Seager at short, and the outfield is Dickerson, Bellinger, and Pham. This, of course, is for the, what is it tonight, the 6:05 main. So you have 24 minutes on the dot as I look at the countdown clock to get in and see how it works out for you. So it will be interesting to see how that played out. Yeah, you know, oddly, you know, the lineup I had yesterday was just kind of blah. You know, Tanaka actually did well, so you've got to be pretty happy in your daily. He scored 45 points for me. You know, yesterday, but I ended up taking 2 zeros. George Springer ate a zero for me, which really stunk. And then my catcher, Tony Walters, who I was really high on, I thought I had a good deal at 2,800. He didn't do squat. Of course, it didn't help me that I was expecting Jonas to put up some numbers, and he did at least score before he got hurt and taken out of the game. But 3 points for $4,000 isn't really what you're looking for. So, yeah, just... You know, that really cost me. I ended up putting up 129.30 points, but the league I ended up in was really good, and I was about 40 points away from money in. The winner here scored 250.90. He was smart enough to take Jacob DeGrom against the Cubs, which racked up to 52 points. You know, and I always kind of, you know, joke around, Dan, you know, when you spend money on pitching, you got to save it somewhere else. Well, last night he saved it on Matt Adams playing first base for the Braves. He paid $2,400 for him. Adams went off for 53.6 points. So he stacked some other Braves. Dansby Swanson scored 6. Matt Kemp scored 21.7. He also stacked some Mariners. Nelson Cruz was 35-4. Mitch Hanger, his first day back off the DL, kind of why I stayed away from him, went for 34-8. And then Corey Seager went for 16-2. And Robinson Cano was 6.5. His catcher was Tyler Flowers of the Braves. He went for 25.7. So basically, he picked Jacob DeGrom and then stacked his lineup with Braves and Mariners, and it worked for him. The Braves ended up scoring 11 points. The Mariners ended up scoring runs. The Mariners ended up scoring 14 runs. So there's a case of stacking a lineup that actually worked. Did you miss your bus?
Yeah. I'm standing.
waving at the bus as it goes by you? Going by.
No. Getting on right now.
poor Dan, yeah. And his transportation. See, people, this is what happens when you work, you know, in Chicago, you know, in the city. You know, you got to deal with these things and all the stuff that goes on there. So, the excitement of Dan's travels home. So. But yeah, now did you did a Greinke lineup, right? Do you remember what it was, or do you have it, or?
Yeah, I went with Carlos Pena for the Brewers. Your guy Valencia, D. Gordon, Justin Turner, Chris Owings, Ben Attendi, Bruce, and Suda.
We'll have to see how that works out for you. But yeah, hopefully, you know, as I always tell you, I know there is a little rain in the forecast for a couple of the games, so check that out before you, you know, make your lineup official. And as always, make sure the damn guy is playing. You don't want to, you know, to deal with any of that stuff. So, but we you know, from FanDuel, we can translate over, Dan, to it's finally over. It ended last night. The Warriors won the title. We can move on with our lives now, right?
More or less, but I mean, we're waiting for the rematch for next year, right?
Are there any real other options? You know, I mean, as long as things stay where they are, you know, who else, you know, who else could beat either of these teams? You know, I know Steph Curry is a free agent, but they'll just, you know, back a, you know, a dump truck of money up to the front of his house and dump it out because he can sign one of those huge extensions. So it shouldn't be any issue at all to keep him there. And, you know, I think Durant is a free agent as well, but he's already said he wants to stay. So, it, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to be an issue keeping them together. So, you know, I guess you need to explain this to me, Dan. You know, obviously LeBron James had a really good final series. He was probably great. You know, he averaged a triple-double through five games, even though, oddly, his team lost four of them. Now, they made a huge deal about this in the media, and, you know, this was the greatest thing ever. Didn't Russell Westbrook just do this for an entire season, which is, what, 81 or 82 games? And all they did was kind of find flaws in his game. Why the difference?
Because he's not LeBron.
So yeah, no, but I mean, has LeBron endeared? Yeah, has he endeared himself to the media that much that you know his accomplishments are just are legendary compared to you know? I mean, I'm not saying it's not a great feat, but it was five games. Westbrook did it over an entire season where, you know, LeBron has taken games off and playing 70 games. I think Westbrook missed one game, you know, and he didn't even want to miss that game. They just kind of told him he was sitting out. So I don't get the, you know, and it's not like the Warriors are a great defensive team. I mean, people will try to sell you on that, but it's crap. You know, they're a good defensive team, but they're not great. So I don't get the love here.
Well, I don't really think it's so much the love. I think it's the fact that they've pretty much eliminated any significance to the regular season.
Yeah, you know, that it's just, it's so odd because, you know, obviously there's a lot of people out there who want to say LeBron is the greatest player to ever play the game. And, you know, the one thing, and, you know, again, he's a very good player, and maybe what by the time he retires, he will be considered, you know, the greatest to ever play. But, you know, there's that one odd thing, I think, that's, you know, always going to hang over his head that Jordan has over him. Michael went to six final series, and he won every one. LeBron has been to eight, so he's actually been to more. But he's 3-5, Dan. So while Jordan won on this big stage every single time he was there, LeBron's an under 500 performer. But, you know, of course, Brian Windhorst, who's a LeBron, literally is in love with LeBron, mentions that you have to look at the broader picture when LeBron, because, you know, the first time he went, they had no business going and they weren't going to win. Yeah, you know, you could say that about anybody the pretty much the first time they go. And, you know, what are your excuses in Miami when they should have been winning every year multiple times? You know, there was no excuse for that team to lose, and they did. So I just, I can't figure out, you know, all the kind of love he garnishes, and then, you know, he's got apologists everywhere you turn.
So are those guys on the NBA payroll?
I think Windhorst is on the Mickey Mouse Network payroll. I don't know some of the other guys who were kind of, you know, doing the apologies for him. I don't know where the heck, you know, they came from or how it goes. You know, I try not to listen to too much of it because it's just, you know, I know it's garbage. And, you know, especially, you know, if you see Brian Windhorst's name attached to it, it's just, it's going to be any excuse you can get for LeBron to be the king. And, you know, nothing is, you know, ever going down the wrong path with him. So I try to leave them alone. But, you know, again, it just kind of baffles me with your 3-5 and 8 trips to the finals. You know, I mean, that makes you the greatest player of all time.
Well, I mean, I think the funny thing was the first thing I saw this morning posted by the NBA was the LeBron James triple-double. Again, if you're a casual fan and you weren't watching, you would pick that up and go, oh, and then realize that they lost the championship.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the funny thing as it works out is, you know, we're going to talk about it. You know, and that was part of the problem. You know, what was the biggest problem they had with Westbrook winning the MVP was the fact that, you know, while Oklahoma City had a winning record and they were a playoff team, you know, everybody knew they weren't going to win a championship. So, you know, I don't understand, you know, I look at it here, Oklahoma City was actually 12 games over 500.
Well, and I mean, if you look at it, if that's the basis, then next year they might as well eliminate everybody unless they're on the Cavs or the Warriors for the MVP talk.
Right. You know, that's just kind of, you know, that's kind of the way you look at it, right? I mean, if you don't play for one of these two teams, well, you know, then you don't count because, you know, you're not going to be in title contention. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just kind of baffling, trying to listen to these guys and make sense of, you know, what they, you know, what they ever, you know, what they attempt to do or what they're trying to say or do. And I mean, you know, okay, you know, I mean, obviously you're entitled to your opinion. You think he's the greatest player in the world ever. I'm not buying it, but you know, good luck. So, you know, I run out of, you know, options to tell him or things to tell him. You know, when it just kind of comes to it, and it's like, okay, you know, what do you say anymore?
That's why the league will get better once it's gone. I mean, I don't know if I said this earlier, but it's almost like the league doesn't exist without him.
Yeah, you know, and that's just the odd thing is there's only, you know, it's like there's only very few players. So, you know, because, yeah, I was laughing earlier. I caught the end of, God, I don't even remember what the name of the show is. What's it called? I don't even remember. It's on before highly questionable. So I caught the end of it, and they had James Worthy on as the special guest. And, you know, one of the things, of course, they want to do is, well, you know, they're going to point out how much better this Golden State team is than that 87 Lakers team, which was just phenomenal. So, you know, Worthy was cool about it to start. And then, you know, they kind of got into it more and more, and he got a, you know, he finally got a little upset, and he was like, okay, you know, this team had, obviously, Magic Johnson as the point guard. All right, they had Michael Cooper, who was an elite defender at shooting guard. So, you know, that worked out right there. You know, they had James Worthy at small forward. Kurt Rambis did a lot of the lifting at power forward along with Michael Thompson. And then they still had, you know, Kareem, who was aging at the time. But he was still, you know, he's still Kareem. He's still one of the, you know, the greatest players of all time. So, you know, they're trying to figure this out. And obviously it's a different era, so they weren't shooting the threes like this team were. But, you know, Worthy finally attempted to explain to it that, okay, guys, here's your deal. Who's Steph Curry guarding? You know, he's listed as a point guard, but he can't match up with Magic. You know, Magic's 6'9". You know, you might be able to push him off on Michael Cooper, who doesn't have a great offensive game, but at 6'5 on man-to-man, all Cooper's got to do is take him down in the post, and he's going to eat him up. You know, he's got 5 or 6 inches on him. You know, Worthy can get up and down the floor, and he's 6'9", so he can guard Kevin Durant if he has to. You know, I also forgot to mention they had A.C. Green, who was a pretty good defender at the time, too. You know, he's 6'9". You know, the center didn't matter on the Warriors, but the problem they have is, you know, Kareem had the hook. How do you stop Kareem every time he gets the basketball? So, you know, I mean, it's great that you're standing out there stroking these threes every opportunity you can get, but obviously, you know, this is a very hard-nosed physical team that can run. You know, they were the Showtime Lakers, and they got up and down the floor just like the Warriors did. The key was, you know, back then the three-pointer wasn't a big instrumental part of the offense. It was more a bailout shot. So, you know, they didn't really use it, but, you know, if they had to, you know, I'm sure they would have had guys on the team who, you know, who could have hit it or would have hit it. So, you know, it's hard to just kind of go, yeah, well, you know, the Warriors would just march right over. No, they wouldn't. You know, this would be probably a really good series, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Lakers ended up beating them. You know, because the matchups would probably just end up being too much for the Warriors to handle on defense. I mean, you know, Steph would get eaten alive. You know, KD's not a great defender. Neither is Klay Thompson. You know, Draymond Green is one of the better defenders, but he can only guard one guy. And then none of the centers on the Warrior roster, you had Zaza Pachulia or JaVale McGee, is going to stop Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Yeah, I don't think so. So, you know, I mean, you can jump up and down all you want on how this is the greatest team of all time, but, you know, be careful who you match them up with. There's different styles and, you know, different physical type of teams that would really give these Warriors serious trouble. You know, those bad boy Pistons would beat the hell out of these guys, you know, because that's the style of game that was played.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, the game, you know, like we always got to say every time we do it, the game was different. You know, it wasn't the same style of game. They allowed guys to play a tougher, more physical type of style. And, you know, the Pistons really knew how to take advantage of that, and they sure did. You know, ask any of those teams who, you know, who played them. But, you know, I mean, you didn't want to drive on that team because you just didn't know what was going to happen when you got into the lane. So, yeah, you know what I mean? Again, it's fun to, you know, jump up and down and, you know, do all the, you know, the funky comparisons. I get it. Everybody enjoys that stuff, but it's just kind of like, again, be careful what you wish for, because it's not always gonna work out your way. So.
Well, no, and this is the only sport that really does it. To be honest, I'm getting kind of bored with trying to compare teams from different eras.
Yeah, it's to the point where the playoffs were so bad that I think they just ran out of things to talk about. Obviously when you're getting really good playoff series, you don't have to compare anybody to anybody, unless of course they're on a huge championship run and they've won, three in a row or four in a row or five in a row, then you want to know where they stand as an all-time great team. But yeah, when you look back, what was the best playoff series, Dan? The Warriors lost one game. The Cavs lost five, and four of them were in the finals. What was great about the run to the finals? Are you entertained by dominance? Are you one of those guys who like the dominant teams? Because then, obviously, it worked out for you. But other than that, what did you like?
Yeah. Well, I'm hating myself, but I think it would have been different if Golden State won last year.
I was trying to think, and I can't even figure it out, but did we get a playoff upset? I'm kind of thinking back to the matchups, and I don't believe we got an actual playoff upset. I know technically, if you wanted to go that route, when the Jazz beat the Clippers, technically it was an upset because the Jazz were the fifth seed, but during the regular season they had the exact same record, and the Clippers got it by having a better head-to-head record, but it didn't matter in the playoffs. So I don't even count that, but. Yeah, we thought we were going to get a Bulls upset in the first round. That didn't happen. It looked for a little while like the Bucks had a shot against the Raptors, but that didn't happen. So, the next round, the Wizards played some good games against the Celtics, but in the end, that didn't matter. And Cleveland crushed the Raptors. The other side, we ended up with, the Warriors, of course, swept the Jazz. That wasn't even a series. And, the Rockets gave the Spurs a little bit of a scare, but in the end, the Spurs came out. So, he ended up with 1-2 against 1-2. And even though, I'm not buying the Cleveland beating Boston as the second seed is an upset. That was just the Cavaliers managing the standings because, LeBron needed his days off. So, yeah, I don't think, I don't really think there was one, one actual upset in the playoffs.
No.
And obviously in the NHL, we can go up and down the list. The Predators pulled off an upset until they got to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they still made a really good showing of it there. There were quite a few other ones. While Pittsburgh is a good team, obviously they pulled off a bit of an upset when they beat Washington because, Washington was the best team in the, the regular season. So, there's always always something that seems to go on, with the NHL that there's just that, you know, the NBA just doesn't have that magic. I mean, it's just, you know, just kind of a top-heavy league. And, you know, nothing, you know, it becomes boring and predictable. And, you know, like Durant said, if you're bored, don't watch. Okay, I'm cool with that. But, you know, eventually, don't you alienate your fan base to the point where you don't have fans?
I think the Golden State is winning.
So, you know, I guess we'll see. But yeah, you know, depending on what off-season stuff happens, I mean, I think we can, you know, we can look for the exact same matchup again next season. You know, unless somebody in the East makes a big move to catch the Cavaliers, because there's nobody in the West right now that's capable of beating the Warriors in a four-game series. You know, I mean, I think the Spurs could test them and the Rockets could test them, but there's, in the end, you know, the Warriors still win out. You know, even if it goes six or seven, they would still find a way to win. And, you know, I got to tell you, Dan, I don't want to see this matchup again next year. I didn't want to see it this year.
Yeah, but we will.
You know, just kind of what I guess, you know, we get to deal with. So, yeah. But, Dan, I did see... I was guessing you weren't his accountant. Did you see they charged, was it Cristiano Ronaldo with fraud for, like, what he was trying to hide, like, 16.4 million or something? So, oh, six, excuse me, 16.5. Yeah, so... Yeah, the Spanish state prosecutor is the one who is accusing him of tax fraud. They said he is accused of defrauding Spain's tax office of 14.7 million euro, or six American dollars, between 2011 and 2014.
There you go.
So, yeah, apparently he was they accused him of hiding some of his income.
How do you do that? I would think that their records are public. They're not public, but everything.
So, yeah, it's let's see if they explain in this article here how they think he hid it. But, yeah, I mean, is it just like, would it be here where, you know, maybe he just didn't claim something and tried to hide it that way? Ah, here you go. This is something you should know a lot about, Dan. It says the Real Madrid forward had knowingly used a business structure created in 2010 to allegedly hide his image rights income between 2011 and 2014. So, did they teach you about that in accounting class, Dan?
Well, no, they don't teach you to do a legal thing.
So, yeah, it you know, I'm sure, you know, if he pays the money, this would just all go away. You know, that's all I'm sure they're pretty much looking out for, so... It, you know, it's probably not that big of a deal. So we'll have to see. I just thought that was humorous when I saw the price tag on it. But there was another odd one here, Dan, and I'm not sure this just doesn't seem right. Now, you know, there's a University of Central Florida kicker, Dan. This guy's the kicker on the football team. His name is Donald De La Haye. All right. Now, the university has told him that he needs to stop making money off his YouTube videos, Dan. Apparently, he has a very popular YouTube channel. And the university has asked him to stop making money off it. He actually posted a video called Quit College Sports or Quit YouTube. Now, I got to tell you, Dan, this guy's a kicker. If I'm making money on YouTube, I think I'm going to stick with that.
I mean, what if he just has a deposit of money?
So, yeah, that way, I wonder if they could, you know, could he defraud them or figure that out, you know, somehow like that to where, you know, he could just do it later or, you know, put the channel in somebody else's name, you know, his parents or something. But, yeah, I found it, I guess, pretty crappy on the university's part. I mean, I was under the impression these guys were allowed to have jobs, you know, while they were, you know, while they were going to school, but maybe I'm wrong. It just, you know, again, it just seems pretty crappy that it's like, okay, well, you know, do the YouTube channel or play college football. And like I said, I mean, I think, you know, at his point, I mean, if he's a kicker and he's good enough, he could literally walk on and make an NFL team basically because he's a kicker. But, you know, I mean, you can always go back to school.
Yeah, well, I think part of it is only the colleges want to be able to use your likeness when you're under there.
You know, I mean, so, yeah, you know, I mean, do you think it's the fact that they're not getting any of his money that is part of the issue?
Pretty much, but as long as he's not wearing
so yeah, he's made 41 videos, and basically they're about what they describe as his daily life, including what it's like to be a student athlete. It looks like he has over 10,000 lifetime views on the channel. But there's an NCAA bylaw, Dan, it's 12.44, which states that an athlete may establish his or her own business, provided the student athlete's name, photography, appearance, or athletics reputation are not used to promote the business. So now, since he's making videos about being a student athlete, is that considered his athletics reputation?
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, I mean, I think it's a sham because it's an NCAA. They don't want to be able to use the rights. You know, make the money off the video games, the jerseys, or the students just don't care if they.
So, yeah, it just seemed kind of, you know, kind of crappy. It does look here, they go on in the article, and it does mention, if he continues to make the videos, he most likely would be unable to collect any money from the ads. You know, okay, I mean, if he wants to keep making the videos, he could go that route if he wants to. Or, you know, like you said, I'm sure there's a way to, you know, to funnel it someplace else. I just caught the article, and I had heard a little bit about it, and it just seemed kind of crappy, you know, with all the stuff got going on. So, you know, but you know, I know we, you know, we don't talk a ton of college sports, Dan, but I got to ask you about this one. The University of Hawaii, Dan, someplace you and I, I'm sure, both would have loved to go, have offered a scholarship to quarterback Titan Lakaden. All right. Now, the interesting thing about this, Dan, Titan's 11 years old and is in fifth grade. what the hell's the deal with this? Nope. So just looking at him here, he's pretty much a normal sized kid, and you know, in a normal sized league, and you know, that's what it seems. And now he's got a full ride scholarship to the University of Hawaii.
For the future, or for now?
Well, here they said this is a verbal scholarship, so he's got that going. So, or no, wait, this was another one that good old Lane Kiffin offered a sixth grade quarterback, a verbal scholarship to Florida Atlantic University. So apparently they're recruiting quite young here. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not like they're going to be on the team next year. So when they get to their age.
Yeah, you know, that's. I just think it's kind of odd that we're recruiting 11-year-olds. So I just thought it was humorous when, you know, because obviously, you know, the big headline is, you know, Hawaii offers scholarship to fifth grade quarterback. That's not something you see every day. And I didn't realize that apparently it's a thing because it's been done on multiple occasions by colleges. So I guess we just kind of start looking at you as soon as you can throw the football, Dan, or is that how that works?
Pretty much, but what happens when they send down?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we never really hear that part. You know, I mean, what happens if the kid, and obviously we don't wish this on him, but, you know, what happens if he gets to high school and he just stinks? You know, do they take it away from him? You know, or if he doesn't hit puberty and all of a sudden, you know, he's 5'4 as a freshman coming into college. You know, do they take it away from him then? Because they're, you know, not going to be any 5'4 quarterbacks. So, you know, we don't ever seem to hear that part of the story, do we? It's just the, you know, this feel-good kind of, hey, look what we did. We, you know, we signed a fifth grader to a scholarship offer. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, Dan, you'll be happy to know that the Cubs did score in the top of the first, so at least they, you know, they have that going for them. But I got to ask you, Dan, I'm worried about one of your guys here. I'm starting to think maybe it's the end. Adrian Gonzalez back on the DL. Got a back injury. They're saying a degenerative disc in his back, and he is now out indefinitely. You know, of course, he goes on the 10-day DL. You know, Gonzalez is a great player, probably a borderline Hall of Famer. But, he is 35. He's really scuffled this year, 255 with just one bomb, 23 RBIs. He's played 49 games because he was on the DL earlier. Is it over? Are we out of time for Gonzalez here? I mean, he's been your guy.
Yeah, I don't think he's out of time. I mean, over the last 2 weeks, he's only been like 200. And he's only been back 3 weeks.
You know, I mean, I know, you know, it eventually catches up with you. He is 35. You know, he's had a very long career. This is his 13th season. So, you know, I just kind of wonder if maybe we've seen the last of him as a productive player.
I think you answered your own question.
Yeah, you know, so. But yeah, we're looking at a guy, you know, he's just shy of 2,000 hits. You know, he has 309 career home runs. Probably not enough numbers to get into the Hall of Fame. You know, you just wonder if, you know, he could have added a few more onto that total, how he would have been. But, you know, you look at it and, you know, he had a really good career. I mean, he hit 40 homers back in San Diego when that park was mammoth. You know, it looked like he was going to be the answer in Boston. He hit 338 his first year there, and then they had all the goofy beer and chicken stuff, and I believe he called out the – or I don't know if he did it, but they used his phone to tweet about one of the front office guys. So, you know, he ended up coming to L.A. He's been pretty good since he's been in L.A. He hasn't hit 300, but he's been right around, you know, anywhere from 275 to 299. So he's been right at the 300 mark. You know, he's always had about 20 homer, you know, sometimes a little more power. But, yeah, this year, you know, the injuries just seem to have really, really crushed him. And to make it worse, Dan, his WAR for this season is negative 0.6. So it's got to be the end, right?
Well, once you bring that WAR into it, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, once your WAR gets to the negative, I think you're done. But, you know, he appeared in 34 career postseason games. He has 7 postseason home runs. So, you know, he's a career 266 hitter in the postseason. Yeah, you know, I mean, when you kind of go through it, I mean, you know, he was really a top hitter in his time. And, you know, it just kind of looks like the – are you going to be sad? Is he on your team? Do you got to DL him or what are you going to do?
Higher than my room for DL.
So, yeah, I'm carrying a guy right now on the DL because I don't have any spots. I need somebody to come off again. I had straightened it out and I was okay, and then everybody got hurt again. So.
Yeah, well, I have Madison Baumgartner and Felix Hernandez.
Well, you know, Baumgartner started throwing. I saw he threw off a mound. So maybe he's closer to coming back than people think. I haven't heard anything about Felix. I don't know what's going on with him. So, you know, we'll have to see. But then, I know somewhere in our league, somebody has Asdrubal Cabrera. He went on the DL last night. He sprained his thumb. Yeah. You know, I know Mr. Fantasy, you know, Mr. Fantasy made a big trade for Cesar Hernandez. He was just desperate for a second baseman. I forgot which league it was. And he's hurt now. He's going to miss 6 weeks. I think he ended up giving up like Johnny Cueto to get him. So he really paid the price to get Hernandez. And it, he's going to be he's going to be out for quite a while there. So I don't know what he's going to do at second base. It's an oblique injury. So we'll see if. You know, maybe one of us will have to send Mr. Fantasy a trade. You got an extra second baseman to deal?
I think he wants Doug Devers.
So, well, you know, he's going to need somebody. You'll have to see if you can, send a deal off there and see who. You know, see who he might take. I'll have to look and see if I have a guy who he might be interested in. And I don't think him and I have made a trade in a while. So, you know, it could be interesting. God, you know, I wish he would have gave me Johnny Cueto for a second baseman. I would have taken that. So. You know, why wouldn't you give me Johnny Cueto for a second baseman? Did he trade with you? Did you make that trade? Was that you?
Hey, Rich.
I tried to make a deal. I was hoping I could catch a guy who was giving up on Matt Carpenter, and I did not get the deal done. Sadly, he did not. He didn't even counter offer me. He just kind of shot me down. So.
No, all the guys I have there. Are
So.
That's all, man.
You know, now, you know, I did want to ask you, I know we're running out of time here as we're moving along, but I don't know if you saw the Cubs lineup going into tonight. What do you think about Anthony Rizzo as the leadoff guy?
Well, he hit a home run.
Oh, is that how they scored?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Too bad
there was nobody on when he hit that home run. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, exactly. Some of my friends are claiming the Joe Maddon genius, but it's like you said, it's only one run. Should be two guys on.
So, yeah, I just, you know, I don't even know what to, you know, how do you describe that? I don't know. You know, is it a good move? Is it a bad move? Is it just another one of these goofy?
Well, he hit a home run, so everyone's happy.
Yeah, I would have been a lot happier, like you said, had there been a leadoff guy who had gotten on and maybe somebody else who found a way on.
No, I mean, I don't give him the genius card just for, you know, throwing a dart at the board and putting Rizzo at first.
Yeah, you wonder, did they just, you know, how did he come up with it? Did he just pull names out of the hat, or, you know, how do those things work? I guess, you know, it's a plus at least that they're up 1-0, right?
Yeah, that was until John Lester pitched, and now it's tied in one. So.
So, you know, I guess we, you know,
So it's tied at one. So I don't. Now you're even. So now he's not a genius anymore.
Yeah, you know, you wonder, you know, what goes on or what can you do or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I'm just kind of like, I heard it today and I was like, yeah, make sure I don't want him in, you know, FanDuel tonight, because that's just, there's, you know, you're not looking at any real points. So, we'll see. You know, maybe it'd just be nice if they could get a win. Oh! All right, the music means it's time for Dan and I to take off. He's got to attempt to get home, which is going to be interesting. But we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 live to try this out again. You know the deal while we're gone, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going over there. Look for the new blog tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like, please. Jump on that Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. Follow that along. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you'd like. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can get this podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.